This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Becky. I'm joined by Maggie.
Hi.
We got Rainey on the ones and twos.
Hello.
Our sweet, sweet Matthew is off supporting a friend. And today, we've got Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, it's me. So excited to be here.
Thank you. This is our part two of our baby Henry story. They already know his name by now.
Of course.
This one, we didn't bury that lead.
Sure.
No. He is with Rachel while she does her meeting. We had talked about it last week. She had to go.
And she's okay with that.
She is okay with that.
Okay, good.
She's okay with that. That was her suggestion. She wanted to hold the baby. We freely hand him away.
I mean, actually, I have a question on etiquette on holding the baby.
Yes.
Because I always want to hold a baby, but I also don't want to put the parents in a position to be like, I don't really want you to. So usually just don't ask.
I think it depends on parents. There's depending on how young the baby is, and then if they already have another child they've had. People tend to be less precious about the second one or the third one even, only because they have some other creature that's alive that needs their attention. So if you're like, can I hold it? You're like, yes, here. Hold his head. Don't let him fall. Go with God.
Yeah.
But I think when it's the only one, when they're very young, they are more fragile, and you feel like they're even more fragile than they are.
Yeah, right.
He's much less fragile now. Still need to support his head, but he's not a Fabergé egg anymore.
Yeah. And another part of it is if, you know, your baby's an anti-vaxxer when they're first born. They need to get certain vaccines, and they're usually like 2- and 3-part vaccines.
Yeah.
So like our personal rule is like, very, very close friends and family can hold him once he was fully once he had his 2-month vaccines. Uh-huh. And then probably once he gets all of his shots, then we'll be like, Ray Ray, here you go.
Yeah.
I think Erica Schmeck does a really good thing with friends where she goes, if anyone would like to hold the baby, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
But also, nobody has to hold the baby.
Yeah.
Just
let
me know.
That's
and
a good
she
impression.
Kinda puts it kind of like takes ownership of, you know, if you want to, you can, but you don't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you know, Maggie, if we're at dinner, she's like, can I hold Henry? I'm like, sure, I'd love to eat.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. It's gotten to a point. Last night, I scarfed my food down. I've never been a slow eater. But Becky's like, Maggie, are you done? And I was like, yes, I will hold Henry.
I was like, it seems like you're maybe done with that burger there.
So, Keith, we heard the sort of the whole story.
You did.
But I'm curious about, like, your perspective. And maybe we can, since we've got the details, you don't have to go in every detail.
Sure.
But, like, you're in a vacation rental.
Good, yes.
Yeah, we're in a vacation rental.
We're chilling. We're watching the Duggars documentary.
Oh, my God. We did not get this context.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't say what we were. I said
we were watching
documentary.
The cult of having so many children, as many children as possible.
That was the foreplay.
Put them into, that's where we were watching that and chilling. Becky runs out of the room. I am locked into this documentary.
I think you were making pizza too or something, or cleaning up our dinner.
I always do that, but I had just finished doing like a bunch of cooking and cleaning. So I finally sat down on the far end of the room there was a long couch, you know, like that I can put my legs up.
Yep.
I'm just chilling.
Yep.
And watching this documentary, Becky runs out of the room. Jared seems unsoothed for some reason, but I'm like, you know, this is a disturbing documentary. And then I very faintly hear Becky saying something, but it doesn't quite register that she's calling for me. And then Jared is like, Keith, I think Becky's calling for you. And I'm like, oh. And now in that moment, the cross of my mind is like, well, I sure hope that she's not going into labor. I don't want that right now. But maybe she just needs like toilet paper. Sometimes you're in the bathroom and there's no toilet paper.
Which I've done before, and I'm going,
So I'm walking in, and then, you know, then it there is immediately apparent to me that Becky's water has broken, but she is refusing to accept that reality, which is fine. Mm-hmm. This is it. That's an intense reality to accept.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, I guess we got to go to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. So we go and we get there and it's an emergency room.
Yeah.
Classic emergency room. Lots of people are there. It's a Saturday night. At like 11
or something.
So you've got people who are too drunk. You've got people you got kids who have mild injuries. Mm-hmm. You probably got some other kids or people with crazy fevers and they don't know what else to do. They go to the emergency room, especially on a Saturday night. You've got no other options. So we get there. But I will say one good thing about going to labor is they immediately take Becky. Like they just pick her out of the crowd of people and be like, you're coming with me. She's gone. By the time I park my car and come back, because I drop Becky off to be like, go, go, go. They're like, oh, she's already been taken into labor and delivery. You'll have to go in the front door. And I'm like, where's that?
We've never been to this hospital.
I'm like, where's that? And they're like, it's over there. I'm like, okay. And then I walk in and then I go to the desk. I'm like, hello, we came into the emergency room and my wife is upstairs. Like, oh, okay. Looks like you're about to be a dad. I'm like, well, maybe not. Maybe it'll be like in a week. It's like, I would just accept it now. And I'm like, okay.
Words of wisdom from security.
And he was basically like, okay, yeah, whatever, bro. He's like, this happens to me all the time. People come in here, they don't think it's happening and it's happening. And they took my picture for my security badge, and I'm just sort of looking very normal or maybe frazzled. And he's like, give us a smile, Dad. And I'm like, so I'm just beaming in this sticker that I will have for the next month and a half. Oh. The picture taken of me at 11:30.
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell them about the stickers, the bracelet, or to see baby.
Going to see baby. but then I get upstairs, finally find Becky. You know, we... throughout the next, several hours, come to terms with the fact that we'll have the baby here. Mm-hmm. It's not our plan, not what we want to do, but that is the reality. And everybody has always said, you have a plan and it won't go to plan. So we're like, okay, getting used to this. The benefit is that where we're staying is very close to this hospital. So that's good, right?
Right,
Now we still think, though, when we're going to labor, it's like, okay, we'll have the baby and we'll be here for a week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was not obviously what happened. The labor was crazy from my point of view.
Yeah, how was that?
Becky, did you talk on the magnesium?
I talked about the magnesium a little bit. I talked about the turkey doctor.
Turkey doctor. But basically, we're going into labor. Becky's having incredible pains just in the afternoon of Sunday and worsening through the evening. But everyone seems to think this is not labor, because it doesn't seem like it is, but it's very clear to me that Becky's in a lot of pain. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm trying to do everything I can to distract from it. Mm-hmm. Like a friend of ours sent us like a weird meditation thing. We were watching Titanic.
Yeah.
But what better to take your mind off of it than, romance and destruction.
Right.
We made it through a lot of Titanic.
Luckily, my brother had texted us, make sure you're just constantly eating. Because you don't know when the last time you eat will be. Mm. Uh-huh. So you should just have food whenever you can, because at some point you will stop eating.
Like before the labor or like when you're in the hospital?
When you're in the hospital.
When you're in the hospital, just keep, get food. So we got very mediocre Chipotle. Mm. That would end up being the last meal we had. That was like the dinner.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, trying to sleep. I maybe slept for 20 minutes during Titanic. Before it became like clear that Becky was in like so much pain, I was like, okay, we need somebody to come figure it out. And then suddenly it was like, oh yeah, it's going to happen real soon. And they sent me away. Anesthesiologist came in. They took so long that they didn't get to do it. They brought me back. And from the time of me coming back in the room to the baby coming out was maybe 7 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was That's very fast.
He was ready to party. He was like, wee!
He came out. He was all wiggling. Like a little squid. his legs were all in the wrong place. It was like, what's going on? They took him over, because he was premature. Immediately, they're just plugging him into machines to monitor his health. And they're, I think, drawing blood immediately. They're doing everything they can to start running tests and see what the health is. Bring him over for a drive-by to Becky, sort of place him on Becky. But they don't actually give him to Becky. No, right. It's just placed but they aren't letting go of the baby.
Yeah.
Then they put him on a little baby car and they wheel him through and I come with them. And then they get to another set of doctors and then they're plugging all those machines they plugged into, they're transferring to new machines. And they're weighing him and doing all these other things. And a doctor's like, you want to give him this vaccine? And I'm like, yeah, I think for sure. It was one of the hepatitis ones. I'm like, yeah, yes. Should I say no? I think I say yes.
It was
probably
the vitamin K shot they were asking for at first.
Something.
Hepatitis was like 2 days later.
I think they were actually asking me about the hepatitis at that time. Like, baby's just come out. It's like, you're going to want that at some point, right? I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Is he big enough? Because he was, 4 pounds, 13 ounces.
Wow.
And then they were like, they said, yeah, he could be here a week and a half. He could be here full to term, which would be 7 more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're always like, well, that seems like he won't actually be here that long.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, we eventually get released in the hospital and we go back home and we're in this very weird limbo sort of phase where we have a child, but we are parents, but we're not parenting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Actively. Mm-hmm. We are going and visiting our child who's actually being cared for by nurses and we are slowly doing some of the tasks of parenting, which I would say there are benefits, I think, to this scenario, right? We were exposed to probably 30 different nurses who all showed us their perspectives of swaddling and other things and how they did things. We saw people handle him unbelievably delicately and people handle him less delicately. He survived all those things. And I'm like, well, that's okay. This is good to see how you can handle him. He's obviously much harder to handle than a normal baby because he's literally attached to several wires. So that mentally and emotionally, it was very difficult.
Yeah.
We never held him where he wasn't attached to something except for maybe twice when he got a bath.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two times he ever wasn't attached to a machine. So,
and even then he had his, because he was gavaged. He had a gavage.
Oh, he had a little feeding tube. But it was still attached to him.
So he always had that in.
But we went in. We read him books. We held him. He slept mostly. Mostly he just sleeps and eats and you change his diaper. And the poop went from not having any smell to smelling worse than anything I've ever smelled in my life.
My God.
And Henry was a stinker. Like you'd walk by his isolate and be like, oh, really?
They were giving him higher calorie formula, which apparently makes him have the rankest farts.
Yeah, he's nasty.
But he otherwise was very chill the whole time. He really didn't throw fits. There were lots of babies who were crying or they sounded like birds or dinosaurs and they were they had a reputation around the room for being loud babies. But Henry had this very great reputation of being very chill. So anytime he would, if he did throw a fit, everybody was like, that was Henry?
That was Henry?
Henry did that? Not my little precious Henry.
Yeah. So you knew the other parents? It was a school, kind of?
There were some parents we kind of knew. There were parents that you knew familiarly and you would wave to, but you didn't. They were acquaintances at best. Mm. There were a couple parents near us who we'd have slightly longer conversations with.
Mm. But we mostly knew their babies. We knew the babies next to us. The baby next to us was Zach. Zach with a K.
And we read, he was like, well, you can listen to baby. I'm reading this book.
Because you were pretty close to the other babies. And I think at one point the nurses did start
pushing them together,
pushing the carts a little closer when Keith would come. Because they were like, oh, he's going to read.
It's going to read.
Put it a little closer so the other babies can hear.
Are you reading this today? I need to hear the conclusion because they're kind of listening in the room.
Yeah, I can piece the stories together.
But there's just beeps.
Yeah.
Everywhere there's beeps. Oh, yeah. There's friendly beeps. There's unfriendly beeps. The unfriendly beeps can cause a stir or can cause no stir.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes unfriendly beeps, someone's like, it's fine. It's not. It's like a false alarm. And sometimes it's like a real alarm and half of the room runs to some corner of the room. And it was a fairly large NICU. It was 30 baby capacity. So the three long aisles. And I'd say it was 2,500 or 3,000 square feet. It was a rather large room. We washed our hands a lot.
Yep.
And washed our clothes a lot. Because that wasn't something they told us to do, but it was something Maggie said. Because I was like, is there anything we should be doing? Because I feel like we're just like washing our hands and then walking in. Is there anything else we should be doing? Mm-hmm. She's like, just make sure you're like going in with fresh clothes and like,
basically, you know, don't spend a day at the mall and then go straight to there, right? Because you take anything that has fallen on you in. So, but we didn't do anything else.
Yeah.
We just went, we woke up, had waffles.
Yum.
Almost every single morning.
These protein
mediocre
waffles.
Protein waffles. Drove there, hung out for 2 hours, came back, made a turkey sandwich, had chips, drove back, hung out with him until dinner, came home, made dinner, went to bed. And every 3 hours throughout all of this, Becky would pump, which at first was like a little prison cell because it was just a thing you had to sit in a chair for. You couldn't move. So Becky was trapped.
Yeah.
And then insatiably thirsty within seconds.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't talk about it. Yeah. You get like, I don't know what it is, but you are like, and I drink a lot of water, but I was like, I'd be pumping for 1 minute and be like, Keith, I forgot my water bottle. And like, I would drink this hydro flask and we have another hydro flask. I drink that while I was pumping. And then I drink his hydro flask. He'd switch them out for me
when
I got back in bed while he was washing.
You have to stay super, super, super hydrated.
Yeah.
Also, don't you have to eat like the same amount in the third trimester as breastfeeding?
You
like I've heard
more.
That it's like, like breastfeeding is the fourth trimester or something.
You know, we only got a couple, weeks into that third trimester.
Yeah, so that's really the,
we did eat a lot.
Your body, I don't know, the thing inside of you consumes X amount more calories, but when it's outside of you, it consumes more than that.
That makes sense.
Breast milk.
Yeah.
So you have to consume a lot of food and liquid.
You should tell them what you consumed a lot of that you're not normally a consumer of.
Yeah, so yes, I...
Which was great for me.
Yeah, I, who's notoriously not interested in sweets, ate more candy during this period of time. I just wanted like Reese's Pieces and dark chocolate and the little ice cream cones from Trader Joe's or otherwise.
Oh,
those,
yeah.
The teensy ones.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know why I wanted it until we looked up at one point. And apparently, like when you're experiencing high stress, people want sugar because sugar does some like mild stress relief chemically. So, and as you know, it got further in, I was less interested in candy as things became less intense. Mm. I didn't want the candy as much. So, like literally, there was one day where I was like, "These M&Ms suck. I don't like these. I don't like this anymore."
And I was like, "More for me."
And I was like, "I wanted these. And I don't like. I don't like them. Yeah. I'm just done."
Yeah, I remember one time we ate like one thing that I was making that I was like, this is the best thing I've ever made is a McFlurry. I would do vanilla ice cream with dark chocolate M&Ms on it, and we would eat it out of the pint.
Ooh.
And so Keith and I were eating that one night, and then we got in bed, and we were like, okay, well, we have to wake up to pump in like 2 hours, so maybe we'll turn on a show. And Keith was like, can you go get the Reese's? And I got the Reese's, and he was eating them. And then like I fell asleep, and I came back, he was still eating the Reese's.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa. I have never seen you eat like this.
Stressed.
Yeah, I mean, it was stressful.
Yeah. I mean, in those kind of moments of, like, emergency, like in the birth itself, are you freaking out or are you, like, very calm or a mix?
I feel like I always have a calm exterior, regardless of what's going on inside.
Yeah. But internally, were you, like, you were just, like, was going through your head?
I just felt very, like, powerless.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, the stress of the scenario is that, like, I can't make food with my body. I cannot currently give the child care. The child is being cared for by other people in another place. Like, what can I do? I can clean pump parts. I can go grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. I can do all those things. So I tried to fill up space with a lot of tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we got to like week four, we were like, okay, we're going to be here probably for the long haul. So I started doing like day trips back to LA to get stuff that we needed to, maybe it was week three that I was like, I'm going home to get stuff.
Yeah.
Cause we literally were vacation mode. We had like, I had two pair of shorts, two pairs of swim trunks and two shirts.
Yeah.
You know, I think I brought Crocs and I'm like, okay, well, I won't need real shoes.
Yeah. Also, thankfully we had our college friends have a vacation rental down there, and Jared Popkin was able to ride home with them because later in the night I was like, Jared's got to get home.
Yeah, this is or the first weekend we all drove down together, right? And we're like, well, I don't know how Jared's going to get home.
Oh my God.
So we figured it out. It worked out well. But yeah, I came home, got stuff, and then I also like did the occasional shoot while I was back. I was like, let me just do one shoot while I'm there for a day. So just because I was like, well, I'm on paternity leave, but I'm not like paternity-ing. I'm just living somewhere else. So let me come and do something so that when I come back for the first couple of weeks, at least I can do like a couple days of work from home as we're transitioning to Henry being in our house and what that is, which I feel like we transitioned well. We're past the more difficult, like you don't get any sleep phase of the baby. We get not enough sleep still, but much more than we did.
Wow.
I didn't tell them about the sleeping on the couch and in the rotating.
Yes, but we just, it was like you'd get so little sleep and you know you need to sleep with in the room with the baby for the first so odd time. But at that time he was eating like every 3 hours. And when I say that, I mean he eats every 3 hours. So, but he needs 30 minutes to consume food. He has reflux and especially had bad reflux then. So he needed to be held upright for 30 minutes.
Right.
So he's actually up for an hour purposefully, then you have to put him back to sleep. So he's only going to sleep for an hour 40 to 2 hours in between feedings. So you're only going to sleep an hour 20 to an hour and a half in between feedings. You actually kind of need to wake up before him so that you have his bottle warm and ready because he has a very short timer of when he wakes up and a bottle's in his mouth. His timer is shorter than it takes to warm a bottle. I will say. A bottle takes like 4 minutes to warm. I think his timer is about 2.5 minutes.
Wow.
So one of us slept on the couch. So the other person slept in the bedroom with the cats just because we didn't know how the cats would take to the baby yet. But also so that person could get 4.5 to 5 hours straight of sleep.
Yeah.
And then at three
in
the morning.
Straight.
Well, not for Becky.
Some
she
people
had
are pumping.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to do a pump for at like 10 p.m. and then 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I tried to make it that if like I, especially for the first 2 weeks when Becky came in, he was already fed and put down. So she would just have to do that however long pumping would take and go to sleep, hopefully for 3 hours before he woke up.
Which was nice.
And I would normally just stay up.
Wow.
I played video games. And I just stayed up until three because it was harder. If you fall asleep, you have to wake up an hour and a half into what your body is assuming is going to be sleep.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And it feels like you don't know what year it is.
I'd rather just be awake and then go to sleep for 4 straight hours at three. And just have 4 hours of sleep rather than 4 hours plus two little 1 hour confusion deliriums. And I could tell when he was starting to wake up so I could make the bottle. So it was more easygoing when I did it that way.
Babies are noisy. Like even when you're trying to sleep, when they're sleeping, they're like
repositioning. Babies need to be swaddled because they just like flail. And they have a startle reflex where they just flail and they'll wake themselves up. So you swaddle babies.
Oh, I didn't know that's why.
Basically to help them contain their limbs so they can sleep better.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily want to be swaddled, so they're like, let me out of this thing. Get my arms! Get it! Get my legs!
That's exactly what I imagine him sounding like,
and then
too.
Like, I guess I'll just go to sleep. And then he's asleep. And then when he wakes up, he's like, hey, wait a minute! I'm in this thing still! And then you let him out, and he's like, oh! Yeah! And he stretches for like 2 minutes straight.
It's so
very cute and funny.
He's so cute.
So we got back from vacation 7 weeks later and realized that summer was over. and then I adjusted to him in the house and now he's got stuff and he can kind of play with things kind of.
Yeah.
At least his attention, he can follow things. Yeah. You can grab his attention. He's starting to smile, which is nice. That's helpful.
Yeah.
To gate. Cause he doesn't really communicate otherwise. But you learn to understand the communication that they have to somewhat understand, like, oh, he's hungry. Or like, oh, he needs to burp. Oh, if it's not those things, he must not like his diaper. If it's not one of those things, he's just fed up and tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling Zach and Maggie about this thing that I was showing Keith where there was, it's It is not scientific, I guess. There was no studies done on this. But people do use it. There was this opera singer who was like, this is the seven ways babies communicate. And like, if you can hear like their seven cries or five cries, whatever it is, then you could try and figure out what they need. And the one that I think that for at least Henry that we do hear is she said when a baby's hungry, because they want to suckle, they'll put their tongue at the top of their mouth. So when they cry, it sounds like and you have to listen for the N. And then the other one that we can hear in him is when he has to burp. They said if there's gas trapped in, they're trying to burp. Because they're trying to get the air out in short little spurts. But there were other ones that she had and like, you know.
But those are his main two. He loves
those are his
loves
main
eating.
Two.
He loves eating
eating
and burping. Or he burps big because he loves eating.
He has big burps.
He has big adult sounding burps. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Where does he get it?
I wonder where.
Yeah. I weighed him. He's 14 pounds today.
Whoa. Big boy.
He's definitely growing just fine, even though he is a premature baby. I think he's about the correct weight of his age rather than his adjusted age.
What did you not expect about being a dad? What surprised you?
Or that like, people don't talk about this.
Well, I mean, I think what is good is that being a dad now is very different than being a dad in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 80s when they're really not a part of it. First of all, it's obvious to me that the mother has to do so much already just as a matter of biology.
Right.
Like your body has undergone a trauma and then it's being taught a new one through breastfeeding. And that's all happening all at the same time. It takes months to become somewhat whatever normal means again, or to a state before, although you're never to the state before again, right? Your body's changed. Your physiological self is different.
Right.
But you also you have to wake up to feed. You have to do these things because you have to pump milk. So you just have a different schedule of life. So I think the fact that fathers were so unhelpful before is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Because it's just how can you see that occur?
Yeah.
And not try to do other tasks like cleaning the pump parts. And we even heard from other people there, some nurses were like, "You're cleaning the pump parts for her? Wow, you sure are lucky, Becky." I'm like, she is? Sounds like everyone else is really unlucky.
Yeah.
This, I feel like, should be the expectation.
When we heard that, we were both like, what?
Yeah, I saw guys that seemed not invested, but I saw many men that were, from what I could tell. I mean, yesterday, no changing table in the men's bathroom where we were.
Right, we were talking about that.
So I had to... Luckily, there was a portion of sink next to the actual sink. There was a countertop next to the sink that was big enough to change him. But I'm like, yeah, but now I'm taking up the sink of the bathroom.
Right.
So if someone else needs to wash their hands, I need 4 minutes to do all this. And also, it's just not ideal.
Yeah.
So that was a bummer. However, we also went to a mall and found the greatest.
Well, we'll say the mall name because everybody in LA needs to know about that.
Do we want everyone to know?
Oh, gatekeep. You want to gatekeep? So it's at the Century City Mall. It's by the Apple Store.
Okay.
You see the regular bathroom, and then there's a family bathroom. I've been taking Henny out on little excursions, so I've gotten used to asking for the family bathroom.
Yeah.
Because it means it's a big enough bathroom to bring a stroller in with because I don't want to take up, the other stall.
And there's family bathroom at the airport. It's just a bigger bathroom, right?
Yeah, just a bigger bathroom.
Has a change of table and a toilet and a sink, but it's a personal bathroom.
Mm-hmm. So I asked where the family bathroom was. Keith was in the other bathroom, the regular bathroom. And I was like, I'm going to go to the family bathroom so I can pee and Henry can eat. And I open the door. It's like a beautiful play place.
Oh!
There's these little cubbies that you can go in that have a comfortable chair to feed.
It was
another
a lounge.
Chair. It was a lounge. There were multiple families in there.
A lounge with two little nooks that had a curtain divider. So if you wanted to breastfeed in private or do whatever else you wanted to do in private, you had a little private zone that wasn't a toilet. And then there was a separate bathroom
that was nice there.
And then there were sinks with changing tables that were sort of built into them, and they were they had like concave structures so that like you wouldn't have to worry about a baby rolling off.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It was like you place your baby into the changing table that was next to the sink with a garbage can for like diapers specifically. It was just very conducive to a family environment. And every single family that walked in, it was like, oh my gosh.
We all had the same reaction.
And it was also seemed like a great place to bring your kid if your kid is throwing a fit.
That's, another family came in and the mom was like, this is where we're going to calm down. And there was in front of the little cubby that I was in where you could pull the curtain.
Yeah.
Why I assume they had a curtain was because the area in front of it was a little playpen. So if you had another kid, they could be playing. You can watch them and feed or change you know, do whatever you need to do with your younger kid.
Yeah.
Like it was so nice. Yeah. So Century City Mall, everybody needs
Westfield
to, everyone needs to do this
the
at
way.
Their malls.
And yeah, whoever designed that.
Whoever designed it is a star.
It was definitely like, to me, the most correct way that it should be everywhere. Mm-hmm. I get that not everywhere has the space to do that, but it was an ideal scenario of a family bathroom and area just to have sort of like a zone for children to be while you're doing whatever you're doing with a baby.
Because
babies take kind of all your attention. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, I'm sure it's very, it's annoying to the 4-year-old, right, to have to wait around and do nothing.
Right.
Yeah. But it's also annoying to the mother to try to take care or
wrangle.
Whatever. Yeah. So
corral the troop.
It was also nice because it was a nice chair to nurse in. Mm-hmm. And Keith could sit next to me. Whereas like when we go out to other places, if we're not sitting somewhere that's like that comfortable, and I'll nurse him in public, like that doesn't really bother me. But the nice chair, I was like, oh, I want to do it in this chair.
Yeah.
Like other bathrooms, Keith obviously wouldn't have been able to come in. I'd be sitting there and I'd be bored. And I'd be like, I'm just sitting here with Henry. You can't talk to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting. So that was nice. Shout out to Century City Mall. Mm-hmm.
Huge. Well, we're halfway through. So Keith, is there any closing statements on the birth of your child?
Yeah, it'd be easy to sum up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun. It's like very gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's cool. It's very fun to watch him discover things. And I'll be very excited because I think the next few months are when he really starts to discover things and makes more noticeable improvements. I think what's been tough about having a premature child is that the adjusted age basically means, okay, they aren't hitting their developmental stages until later. So you actually, for our first 2 months, we had a newborn, and then the third month was a newborn, and then the fourth month was a newborn, and other people have a newborn for 2 months, and then they start having getting those progressions. So we have just had a beautiful little slug for so long. And I think part of what makes being a parent gratifying is when you're dealing with all this difficult stuff of waking up or a fussy baby that you can't console, is that at some point you start getting feedback and you start seeing them smile or they notice their hands and stuff. And for us, that has just been a longer journey than the normal gestational birth age situation people get to have. So that was tough. And we also had the difficulty of being in the hospital. But everybody has their own difficult experience. I don't think there's a world where it's easy to have a human come out of your body and then be sent home with it and be told good luck.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There were times where we were in the NICU and we're like, can you believe they just give people babies?
Yeah.
You just get to take your baby home?
Yeah. It's like, such a learning curve.
I was like, there's no, even when we got discharged from the hospital, there's no information on anything. I mean, there was a whole lot of like,
we had a lot of packets. Right. We were sent home with lots of packet books of like, here's things to do, here's things to know, but they're like textbook vibes, so they're not super friendly and
engaging.
And also you get all of them at once. You're like, what am I supposed to do with 6 books? This one's about you, Becky. This one's about him for, I guess, last week, actually. This one.
Whoops.
And so it was just, it was a lot of the things were overwhelming. I think it's always overwhelming, but it's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's goofy. He's very cute, obviously.
Good
looking baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he is good at eating. I
think
that, the problem, you know, some people have babies that don't want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or he doesn't have any of those issues. So that's very lucky for us.
Yeah.
Oh,
But he does have reflux and he burps and it's wild.
Mm. He burps like a real human.
Yeah. You got to get a burp out of him or else he's going to grunt all night long. So last night I woke up and I was just walking around for 20 minutes trying to get him to burp.
Give me that burp. Sleep.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's Honey Habs.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks
for enjoy the rest of your podcast.
Thanks. Yes. Thanks for kicking it out. Bye, honey.
Bye, Dad.
Have fun with Honey. If you can get him from Rachel or Erica. Now so we're going to do Maggie's perspective as an auntie.
Yay!
Well. We'll do.
Well, you
we'll
know.
We'll bring every aunt and uncle
it's
in.
It's been so hard. You know, this adjustment period, you know, I have to like wake up and like
I
think about
say,
him.
Sweet Maggie and Zach when they were in the NICU. And even Matt. So when Matt first came, mm-hmm. he came like right after Henny was born. And I was like, okay, you can't touch him, obviously. Like, nobody can touch him except mm-hmm. for me and Keith and the nurses. And he was so sensory that you couldn't rub him. Like, rubbing his skin mm-hmm. would make him, it would, like,
startle.
Feel painful.
Yeah.
So they were like, you can put your hand on him, like, hold him, right? And then yeah. as it started going, like, Zach and Maggie came in towards the end. And I was like, okay, you could touch his foot if you want, or you could put his little hat aww. On, you know. But seeing both of them, you were only allowed to have one person other than the parent in with you. So mm-hmm. I went in with Maggie and Zach went in with Keith and we mm-hmm. would just kind of rotate for like an hour.
Yeah.
And both Zach and Maggie were like, I just want to hold this baby. You could see it like in their hands. Like they were trembling, like, just let me hold this baby.
I'm like, let me just put one little finger. Okay, we're holding hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think some of the things I was really surprised about, I knew you were going to be like an auntie that wanted to like always be holding and like snuggling. Mm-hmm. I did not see Zach being,
oh my
Zach
God.
Is like, he will like look at me and I'll be like, here you go. And he just like, he's like getting used to holding yeah. him now, but he like loves it.
Yeah.
And Eugene was the one that I was actually surprised about. He was one of the most supportive friends I've had in pregnancy.
Oh my gosh.
Obviously he's scared of the baby right now because he doesn't love when babies can't control their own heads.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I'm also a person who's like, if you don't want to hold a baby, you don't have to hold my baby. That's fine. Yeah. Like, yeah. YOLO. There are plenty of other friends that will take that turn.
Yeah. yeah.
But it was actually at Zach and Maggie's wedding because we were in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was happening with me, but my feet were getting so swollen.
Oh.
And it hurt so bad that mm-hmm. like Keith was massaging my feet. I was just massaging my feet.
Eugene, give me a foot massage?
We were sitting while Maggie was putting on her dress with her mom. We were downstairs, and I was kind of rubbing my feet. And Eugene goes, do you want me to rub your feet? And I was like, yes. And he sat there and just massaged my feet for like probably 10, 15 minutes.
Wow.
And he would, when Matt actually told him that I was pregnant because we had had lunch and I was like, oh, yeah, you could tell him. Eugene called me.
Yeah.
Probably called me once a day for the next like 3 or 4 days to like talk about baby things. And he's like, okay, well, I'm getting a feeling that it's like going to be a boy. And like, maybe we could, he's like, what kind of names are we thinking about? Like, that one really surprised me. I was like, I figured he would not care at all about, not like not care, but babies aren't really his thing.
Yeah. yeah.
But he was very excited.
That's yeah. so sweet.
It was really sweet.
Aww.
It was really cute. And then, yeah, Zach is Uncle Zach. Is
Uncle
like,
Zach.
Give me this baby.
Yeah. yeah.
Give me this baby.
When was the first? So you met him in the NICU. When did you find out that he was pregnant? And what were you like?
Oh, my God.
You have to tell her.
This is such an embarrassing story. So, where were we? I think we were on FaceTime.
Yeah.
It was something why we did it in person.
I think you kept going. You were out of town and then Zach was injured. So we like never were seeing you in person for like
yes,
probably like 2 months. It was like little spurts where we would actually
you're
see
right.
you.
Uh-huh. So this was like a FaceTime call. It was Zach calls me into the room and was like, Becky has something to tell us. And I was like, okay. And I was like, hey guys, what's up? And Keith and Becky's on the phone and they're like, just so you know, like at your wedding, I just wanted to like RSVP and then tell you about my dietary restrictions. No red meat, no raw food. And I was like, oh, okay. And Zach was like, elbows me. He's like, you don't get it. And I was like,
well, I can't really drink alcohol. And Maggie's like, okay.
No questions fine. Asked. No questions needed. Yeah. Like, all right, that sounds good.
And he elbows me and I'm like, wait. Yeah, I guess we like, yeah.
Yeah, it was really funny.
That was really, yeah.
Oh my God.
It feels like so long ago. But
I know.
Also like not very long ago either. But
yeah.
I know. I was thinking it's weird that like, he was only in you for 7 months. Like, that's actually not very long.
I know. That's what, like, I've been seeing people do the, like, picture that you take where they're in you as long as they were out of you.
Yeah.
And, like, right now, I think it was last week, we were out of the NICU longer than we were in it.
Congrats.
Oh my gosh.
Huge. I know.
Huge.
That's... Penny's only been like in our house for like a month and a half.
That's so weird.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I feel like he's been here forever.
He's been here forever.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And he's just so perfect. I love him. And the reason I always want to hold him, because it may not feel this way to you, Becky, but there's going to be a point where he's not going to want to be held anymore. And it's just like, it's so hard to wrap your mind around now, just because it's such an exciting time. But I'm like, I want to hold him all the time. Me and Kim are going to get into like...
You and Kim. There was that, what was it? When they were doing Romeo and Juliet live, Maggie was holding Henry, and it was the last night my parents came into town.
Yeah, they were there for a bit.
For like 2 weeks after he was born. And I was like, Maggie, it is the last night, so my mom might murder you if you don't give that baby back.
I could just feel Kim just staring at me, like watching Romeo and Juliet, but also I'm like, oh, I was like, oh my God, how rude of me. I'm taking baby from grandma. Here you go.
Yeah. It was also like, we called it like a very rude awakening when my parents left, because you know how like some parents aren't like very, I don't know. We only have this one baby and I only have these one parents, but I've heard other friends talk about their parents maybe not being the most helpful when they were in town.
Cause you think about how long it's been since they have actually changed a diaper.
Yeah.
We are in our 30s.
Total opposite for Kim and Don.
Yeah.
Kim was feeding Henry, changing Henry. I would take a nap and she would watch it because, you know, he was eating out of a bottle. So it was like, as long as there was pumped milk, she would feed him.
Yeah.
My dad went to the grocery store like every other day. I never had to go to the grocery store.
Oh, wow.
I was like, having a baby's easy. This is so nice. I would like wake up, you know, it was still at that time where he was waking up every 3 hours. So it'd be like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., my mom would come in. Mm-hmm. We'd have coffee. Becky, we'd go for a little walk. And I was so like, this sweet. Is so nice. This is great. And like the day after they left, I was like, I was like, where are my friends? Aww. You say, where's grandma and grandpa? Oh, my mom did my laundry. Did our laundry and put it away, except for our stuff that goes in our drawer. She goes, I don't want to know what's in your drawers. But she was like, does Keith think I'm weird for doing this? And I was like, Mom, it's just happy he's not doing it. Yeah. He does not care in the slightest.
Wow.
She made our bed.
Oh my gosh.
It was luxury.
I don't even know how she fit it all in the day.
Honestly.
I don't have kids, but can I borrow Kim?
Yeah.
I would like a Kim.
We were always like, oh, come back. Oh, come back.
Yeah.
It was very cute. And my dad was a little less comfortable with Henry just because he's like a taller guy and he was really, you know, very tiny at that time. So I think he was just uncomfortable with like
nervous.
Burping him and like the head stuff.
The head stuff is kind of disconcerting.
Oh, it is.
You're like,
yes. Yeah. Well, and people, I forget who asked me, but they were like, so do you think it's like similar to having a cat? You know how people say like, having a baby is kind of like having a dog or a cat, like the responsibility of a pet. And I'm like, to be honest, a lot of it is.
It is sort of like, okay, you're responsible for this life.
Yeah. I feel like there's more pressure on being responsible for a human than the pressure of being responsible for an animal.
Yeah.
Though I did feel like, you know, I was a pet mom first.
Yeah.
I have my two other little boys.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to be a pet parent.
Yeah.
I do think it's similar to being a real parent.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially if, like, I feel like when I go, I don't have pets, but like when I go home, I'm like, where's Wookiee? What's Wookiee doing? What's he doing?
Yeah.
Is he okay? Is he okay? You know, it's like, it's fun to be obsessed.
Yeah. You're just like, you're so cute. You like take all the pictures.
You're super cute.
How do they react?
Bowie, you have to take him out and walk him.
Yeah.
That's like similar.
So you walk Henry every day. Is that good for your mental health?
I think it really is because I was really nervous, like I said, on the last podcast. And I've never really talked about it before because I was like, it's nobody's fucking business.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I feel like from stories that I've heard from other people or even like people on TikTok talking about their doctors, talking about their mental health medication, like not every person has a doctor like my doctor who was like, no, this is like a panic attack is worse for a baby than or a fetus than, you know, whatever the very minimal side effects of the Zoloft are. Mm-hmm. So just keep doing it. Without that, like I actually increased my dosage during pregnancy to prepare for postpartum because I already have PMDD, which is like when you, it's like having PMS on steroids, essentially, where you just like very, very, you get very, very low. Yeah. It's also common for people who already have depression or anxiety to also have PMDD with it. Mm-hmm. But it's just that hormone fluctuation. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I did not experience postpartum from my friends who have. It sounds absolutely horrific. Yeah. I did not have the baby blues. Mm-hmm. I had the normal stress of being in the NICU.
Right.
So without my medication, I would have.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It would have been awful. And then adding on top of that, like having to be in the house, like those couple weeks where I was, or those couple days where I was with Henry when Keith was going back to work.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily the most comfortable taking him out by myself.
Yeah.
That was like so isolating. Yeah. And so, and all of my mom friends were like, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
During this time specifically. So like, text me if you want to do something, whatever. And now it's like, taken my mental health from like very low to very high to be like, okay, we're going outside.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to go. I'm going to pack you up. I have all the stuff in the car. Like, we're just going to go somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not like we have to go somewhere that's like, I mean, I'm not really taking him to museums or anything. We're literally just going to like malls and walking around.
Yeah.
And I will say like that in and of itself, which I don't think we've even mentioned in the last podcast, is like such a privilege that while I had almost every choice taken away from me in pregnancy, in child rearing, I am now in total control.
Yeah.
And I get to have the choice to stay home, which my mom didn't have the choice. Your mom didn't have the choice. I don't know about your parents, but like for the majority of people, having one parent stay home is not a choice that they get to make.
Right.
No. Both parents have to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that has been just an incredible privilege and has sort of offset some of the things that I get sad about, you know, looking back into pregnancy. Like one day I'll look back at it and be like, oh yeah, this was beautiful and all this stuff. But I'm still in the phase where I'm like,
It's too soon.
I don't love it. I didn't love it. I didn't love birth. Very scary, very stressful. I love this. I love having Henry.
Yeah.
And being able to go do stuff and like spend all the time with him.
What's your favorite part of having
him? How cute he is. I love kissing him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just, I just kiss that baby all over and like snuggle him.
Yeah. How can you not?
Yeah.
I have to stop though, because I'm like, this is not my kid. But I like have been like personally, I was like, this is not my baby.
No, Zach and Maggie were like in the corner and Zach's like kissing the top of Henry's head. Which I will say, if you don't like know, the parents don't kiss babies. They can get like weird diseases from adults kissing them. So if you're an adult, like make sure like they know it's okay that they kiss him on the head. Like,
they've just they cleared it.
They cleared it. They cleared it with us. They're not just kissing our baby willy-nilly. I think just like getting to snuggle with him and like Keith said, like seeing him develop and like getting to more of those like fun milestones that he's having. Keith kind of touched on it, but that like old mentality that we've seen either in like movies or TV of like the dads coming home and being like, make me dinner, woman, and those kind of things, like that is like not the experience that I've had. And like I said, I feel like I'm a good parent because Keith's a good parent, because like when he comes home, it's not like, I mean, it is a mix of like Becky needs a break from taking care of Henry during the day, but it's also Keith's gone during the day. So if he's not waking him up in the morning and doing his morning feed and then putting him to bed at night, when's he going to see him?
Right.
Like Keith comes home and is like, give me my baby. Like, this is our time. Yeah. This is our time. If he doesn't hang out with him then he's just, he goes to sleep, because now he only really wakes up maybe like once, twice in the night. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't have that time to like snuggle. Yeah. And I think doing exclusively pumping at the beginning, while it did give me a crazy oversupply, which was painful, was really helpful in like letting Keith bond with Henry.
Oh, yeah. Because
he was able to take part. And it really helped me not feel like, because you are the sole provider of like the food when you're nursing. But since I was pumping, Keith was able to experience that too, which was so nice.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've really run the gamut of like nursing, pumping, bottles, formula, fortified breast milk. Like this kid has everything. Like we are obviously a fed his best family. Like who cares? That baby needs to get fat.
Yeah.
that was just it. It was like, that's the goal. Gain as much weight as you can. Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to have, and like my mom being able to feed him. That was like, 'cause she doesn't get to see him.
Yeah.
I mean, they FaceTime every day.
She feeds almost him every day.
Yeah, almost every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's coming. Really, she'll come back at some point.
Yeah, she's actually coming back next week. We're really excited. But then it'll be her longest stretch. So I think she's going to be a little sad because he doesn't have all of his vaccines. Like I said, babies are anti-vaxxers when they're first born because they have to wait so long for things. So we want to make sure that he gets his COVID shot, that he gets all of his stuff. So we're not traveling for the holidays.
Oh, yeah. So he won't be able to go before
we come back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, planes are like actually disgusting.
So gross. I can't handle it. And I'm also like, I mean, it's got to be tough for any parent, but Keith is 6'3". You think that man's taking a baby into an airplane bathroom to change his diaper?
I've seen the changing tables. How are they doing the airplane bathrooms recently? Because I didn't even know they were there, but I was in the bathroom and it like had been, I think it just like popped open and I was like, this is the changing table? It's literally behind you. It's
tiny. I didn't really realize there was that. Yeah.
It's so
it's basically like you pop it open and it's teensy. And horrifying.
Yeah, our friends, thankfully we have lots of friends with babies, have been able to give us a lot of really good tips. And also, Sarah Bonsignore is like queen mom in my eyes. Oh. She is a star.
Yeah.
She like let me borrow her hands-free pump, so I was able to like move around and it made me feel less like, I don't know, a prisoner to this like pumping schedule that I was in, that I could actually get up and walk around.
Huge,
they've given us so many like secondhand. I mean, all of our friends have really given us a lot of like secondhand things.
But something about being friends with another mom. Yeah, like, they can show up for you in ways that maybe you're friends without children.
Like a big community.
Yeah, it's a huge community. And like he's riding around in Rachel's carrier right now. Aww. Like, it's just this big network, I feel like, that we have, that we're incredibly lucky to have in LA, of like trading and giving stuff away to other moms and parents and like meeting other moms and parents is just like very helpful.
I mean, I feel like also speaking of community and like when you were telling the story, it's such an intimate experience with Keith. Like Keith was like opening the bathroom door multiple times in that story.
Yeah.
And kind of being like, okay, like, and then I don't know. It's kind of really beautiful. And and also kind of scary to me a little bit.
Oh, horrifying.
But that's a personal thing.
I was actually like the first time they're like, once I realized how much stuff I had to walk around with in the hospital, because also I'm leaking this fluid, so I'm wearing these massagers. So it is going like it's going on
what
the massagers,
are the massagers
it's going
doing?
On the floor. They are so you don't get blood clots because you're not moving.
Okay.
So it like lightly massages your like it like squeezes your legs.
It redistributes blood. So as soon as you like meet a certain criteria in the hospital, so she was on bed rest, they're like, oh no, we have to prevent blood clots. Usually more common the older you get and the poorer blood flow, but Zach really liked it.
I know. Zach was like, did you like it? I was like, yeah, except for the part where like the fluid would like leak down into them and then I'd have to clean them. And but the plus side, fluid is like not smelly and it's clear.
That is
and
good.
Like, it just like seems like nothing. Oh, so water. That was, it's just like some sort of fluid water. Yeah. But yeah, I think my first thought when they were like, oh yeah, Keith has to help you to the bathroom, I was like, what if I have to poop? We're not a poop in front of each other kind of play, like family.
Yeah.
Even like peeing in front of each other, Keith doesn't really like. But every once in a while, I'm like, Keith, I really
what
have
happens
to pee.
If during labor or something?
I know. Well, you know what?
Keith, actually, we're not a poop in front
like
of each other.
He picked up my phone when my friend Hannah was texting me. And she was like, I was telling her about the birth. And she was like, oh my God, did you poop? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, if I did, they didn't tell me. And she wrote back, slay. And Keith was like, is this how you tell people about it? I'm like, yeah.
We just slay.
I also think at that point in like labor and like giving birth, you're so unconcerned with the poop of it all.
Or it's like such
or
a
the blood of it all or the fluid of it all. Like you're just like
you're
just
surviving.
Like, you're just like get out. Yeah. Leave my body. Come
also,
to me,
I assume
baby.
Keith was just at your shoulder the entire time, or did he ever take a little peek?
Well, he was at my shoulder, but the position, because I know other people who have given birth in different positions, I wasn't allowed to move.
Right.
I don't know if that was something I could have advocated for better or asked for, but I was strictly on my back the entire time. So your knees kind of go like, honestly, they were like very close to like getting into my shoulders. Like you are really folded like a little pretzel.
Yeah.
So, and he's tall. So not that he like popped around to see anything, but he could see it.
Yeah.
He could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But YOLO.
YOLO.
The body's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy. Now there's a whole another human in the world.
a whole, and we have to be responsible for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's mandatory.
It's mandatory. Like every once in a while I am like, oh yeah, Keith, you can go do this thing and then I'll do this thing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh no. Because someone has to watch Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Henry is not to be left alone in the house.
Yeah.
Or really anywhere.
Yeah. What do Grandpa Barry and Alfred think of him?
They're chill. They really are like, hey. They like have just now started like nuzzling him or looking at him. There were times where when he was like very first at home and I was trying to nurse sometimes in the middle of the night. And Grandpa Barry would sit on my lap and then Henry would be up here and Grandpa Barry would be down here. But he's not, Grandpa Barry's like very hesitant. He's a very cautious cat.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Alfred's
Barry's got a lot going on.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
He's a real grandpa.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. You're like a whole family. Like you're family like a family unit.
We are a family unit. So it's crazy. We have a family.
Yeah.
I think the first time I ever said like, oh yeah, my kid's doing this or I was like,
oh yeah.
Like, I'm too young to be a mother.
Oh, my God. I feel that way, too. I feel like saying husband now has aged me.
100%.
Yeah. I went to, like, an all-women's pickleball event yesterday. And
Maggie's pickleball queen now.
Iconic. So fun. So fun. Highly recommend. It's very good for your brain, too. Hand-eye coordination.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, I love.
I'm trying to, you know, optimize my brain. No, but someone was like, oh, when did you graduate college? I was just like, oh, God. I was like, do I lie right now? Do I say 2020? And I don't know how the topic came up. And we were talking about scoring. I was like, oh, usually my husband keeps score. And they were like, you have a husband? And I was like,
you're like, oh, wait.
I'm old.
Like, I do. I am a senorita.
I am a senora. Old. Yeah. But anyway.
I used to joke. I was like, do you think people are going to think I'm like a 20-something, like a teen mom?
Yeah.
And Keith was like, no.
No one.
No one's going to think that you're a teen mom.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a teen mom. You got the skincare.
Right.
Have you been putting on sunscreen?
I've been putting on sunscreen.
On Henry?
Oh, no, you know what? That was. Okay, so when
Becky's like, yeah.
When you go to the pediatrician, you are like, at least our experience is you are with your pediatrician for like 25, 30 minutes. So you ask every question you've ever thought of in the middle of the night.
Got a list,
you know,
notes app.
I have a notes app list. Yeah.
Should I start retin-A now?
Should I put retinol on him? will it keep him young forever? But we put sunscreen on there. We were like, can we put sunscreen on him?
Yeah.
Because when I was going on those morning walks, it was super hot outside.
Right.
And so whatever. No. She said you should not put a sunscreen on a baby before they're 6 months old.
Oh.
So they should use physical barriers.
Oh.
So they're little.
So that's why I put the little, the sun visors, little muslin cloth things, as long as there's a good like airflow in between it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Does he need direct sun? He doesn't need direct sunlight then.
He doesn't.
Good for you? I don't know.
It's good. So like a lot of preemies have jaundice, which he did have.
Oh yeah.
So he was under like a billy light for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. But there were other babies in the NICU with us that were. Like some babies were there as long as we were, 6 weeks plus.
Yeah.
And other ones were just ones that came in for like a day or two, which is still like horrifying and like very scary for those parents. But we would hear them getting discharged.
Mm-hmm.
And for the ones that had like just gotten over their jaundice, they told them to stand like in front of a window or like stand outside with the baby. So they got direct sunlight for a little bit.
Yep. Some vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. Some vitamin D. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cray cray. Babies are nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Learned a lot.
Still learning.
You probably learned a lot.
I learned a lot. I'm still learning.
Yeah. Lifelong learner.
Lifelong learner. We love to learn here. But I don't think this will be a continuing podcast for us. You know what I mean? Like baby focused.
Yeah.
Henry will obviously be talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, he's cute and adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got to hear what's going on with Vanderpumps. You know, you can be a mom and love reality TV too and love trashy teen dramas.
Yeah. I know what happens with Matt's quails.
Big we need news. To know.
Yes.
I just think there's a lot going on. And hopefully by the time that next episode comes out, the writer's strike will be over and we'll be fairly compensating our writers so I can tell you about all the exciting TV we've been watching.
Really, hopefully. Yeah.
I'm just like, pay people. Pay people.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so stupid.
Just pay people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hashtag pay people.
Hashtag
lifelong learners.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in each week. We are so appreciative of all of you. Be sure to be washing your hands, tipping your servers, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, pee after sex, and we will see you next time
on. You can sit with us.
I don't know.
Bye.